Network. On Capitol Hill today, the House voted to reject a timetable to withdraw U.S. troops from Iraq. The 256 to 153 vote on the non-binding resolution followed heated partisan debate. Yesterday, the Senate also rejected a similar measure that called for the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq by the end of the year in a 93-6 vote. At the White House, President Bush signed the $94.5 billion emergency spending bill. The majority goes to fund the U.S. wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. In Baghdad today, at least 13 people were killed by a suicide shoe bomber inside a Shiite mosque. 28 people were injured. Iraq's deputy justice minister is asking the U.S. to suspend plans to transfer prisons and detainees from American to Iraqi control. There is concern that Shiite militias have overrun the prison system. They are suspected of freeing fellow militia members and executing Sunni Arabs. In Baghdad, the U.S. military has begun a criminal investigation into the deaths of three Iraqi men who were held in custody by U.S. forces last month. Several other soldiers allegedly witnessed the incident and reported it. In Washington, the report on the first investigation into whether U.S. Marines killed Iraqi civilians in Haditha last November has been completed. It looks into whether the Marines followed the proper procedure and if there was a cover-up. On Capitol Hill, the full House has voted by unanimous consent to remove Democratic Congressman William Jefferson of Louisiana from the influential Ways and Means Committee. Some members of the Congressional Black Caucus say he has not been convicted of a crime, so it is unfair to remove him from his position. Jefferson is the target of an FBI bribery investigation but has not been charged and has denied any wrongdoing. The Homeland Security Department has concluded that most American cities and states remain unprepared for catastrophes. The agency finds that most local plans for a major disaster are out of date and uncoordinated. In New York, documents obtained by the Associated Press reveal that rescue workers who allegedly stole goods and artifacts after the 9/11 attacks were not prosecuted. A former employee of a company that helped with the relief effort claims that he witnessed donated supplies being sold out of state for profit. In New Mexico, a wildfire has forced the evacuation of hundreds and closed an interstate. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The University of Michigan survey of consumer sentiment reveals that it improved unexpectedly in early June. The Whole Foods organic supermarket chain says it will stop selling live lobsters at its stores. The decision follows a seven-month company study on the humane treatment of the crustaceans. Internet retailer Amazon is now selling groceries online. The Seattle-based company is testing the grocery site, which offers 15,000 non-perishable items, half of which are organic. Microsoft founder Bill Gates announced he plans to give up the daily running of Microsoft by July of 2008. The world's richest man says he wants to concentrate on his charitable foundation's work. Apple Computer is investigating allegations in the London Daily Mail newspaper regarding working conditions at its manufacturing plant in China. They claim the 200,000 factory workers there make as little as $50 a month under 15-hour-a-day working conditions. Microsoft is preparing to compete against Apple's iPod and iTunes music service. Reuters reports Microsoft has held licensing discussions with the music industry to create its own music service. Light sweet crude settled at $69.88 a barrel today on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And at the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow was down 1 point, the Nasdaq down 14 points, the S&P 500 down 5 points. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, mean, mean strike. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
Right, it's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' games, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
All right, this is Bruce Birch, and I'm back with you for another edition of the Bruce Birch Radio Program. All right, glad to be back with you. Fantastic. It's Friday. Woohoo! It's Friday. It's 5 o'clock. Yes! All right. Woohoo! Okay. I'm glad to see it's Friday at 5 o'clock. Yes. I am excited. That's not a weasel in my pocket. All right. Glad to have you back with us on the radio program. If you want to get in on the show, as my good friend John so ably announced, the number is 1-877-443-2366. If you'd like to send me an email, you can do that by going to your local email program. Shoot me an email. Bang! Bruce@BruceBirch.com. That's Bruce@BruceBirch.com. I also have a blog post up at BruceBirch.com and should have a blog post up at Head On Radio Network here pretty soon. Now, Head On Radio Network itself was experiencing some problems yesterday afternoon, but they have been corrected and are rectified and rectum fried or whatever it is that they are. They're done. They're out of there. The problems are gone. They've taken the crazy bus back to Crazy Town. You can go to headonradionetwork.com and then click on chat to get right into the live chat room that is there. Welcome to all of you folks who are in the chat room. Glad to have you along. And if you have any interesting tidbits of info, little interesting, sweet little tidbits of info you want to shoot to me, you know how to do it. Just give me a little bit of a personal message or something there, and that'll take care of that. Now that we're back on track, this is the fifth show that I've done. This is fantastic. I'm so happy to be doing a daytime show. You just don't know. I mean, this is Bruce Birch in the middle of the day. Woohoo! Yeah, I'm having a good time. It's Friday, man. I'm so happy. Tomorrow night is the Fourth Estate Radio Extrava Freaking Ganza on the Head On Radio Network. You can go to fourthestateradio.com and listen to that show every Saturday night from 10 to 1. That would be myself and my good friend John Fox, and more often than not, I'm more subdued at that time of night, except for my humor. My humor gets a little bit more freaky. That's right. Freaky. So do check us out there. That's fourthestateradio.com, and we also are on the Head On Radio Network. Got an interesting guest on today. He's not here, obviously, not yet. But I do have an interesting guest today for us, Wayne Madsen from WayneMadsenReport.com. Go check it out. He's got a lot of interesting stuff out there. He just had a book come out. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in D.C. We're going to talk about the book. We're going to talk about all kinds of neat stuff. And, so that should be an interesting interview at the bottom of the hour. But before we get into too much of that, wanted to bring a few things to your attention, just some of the wacky news that comes out on a Friday. Here's some wacky news for you. Are you ready for this? Are you ready? Okay. 56-year-old Department of Homeland Security press aide Brian Doyle chatted with a police officer he believed to be a 14-year-old girl about sex, President Bush, and the possibility that she may have been an undercover cop. Prosecutors have released 400 pages of documents recording the exchanges between Doyle and Ash Lynn, a fictitious girl. Ash Lynn, wait a minute. Okay, look. Now, I'm not going to say that I've ever been to any strip clubs or any, you know, the adult entertainment establishments that do exist out there. I'm not going to say that I've ever been to one because I'm not going to say whether I have or I haven't. But plead the fifth. But Ash Lynn? Okay, that's like Cheyenne. All right, now listen. You can make the association. All right. Ash Lynn, a fictitious girl invented by police to trap pedophiles. Doyle acknowledged that his actions were illegal, but seemed to indicate that it enhanced the experience. Oh, God, how stupid can you be? All right, quote, hey, it is illegal, and it would be exciting and forbidden. You are young, illegal, and gorgeous, and it would be great. Fun, food, laughter, talk, and yes, sex. End quote. Sick! Bastard! Okay. The Homeland Security aide also added that he had met President Bush. I wonder if they trolled the internet together. He also added that he met President Bush and said of the president, quote, nice guy, but not a good president. He is not very bright, and it is evident Bush is a liar. There were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Total lie to go to war. End quote. And I'm sure that Ash Lynn, the fake 14-year-old girl, would have given, you know, two rat's asses about whether or not Bush was a liar. I have a 15-year-old now. Oh, my God. I have a 15-year-old now. And she cares about as much about Bush as she goes, Bush, the rock group, or who are you talking about? Like they care. Okay. Oh my God. Opposite world. And this guy was supposed to, he was working for the Department of Homeland Security, and he was supposed to be one of the people who was supposed to be, oh my God, he was one of the people who was supposed to be looking out for the children. And instead, what does he do? He tries to pick up a child. Brian Doyle, child molester. Alleged. Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Looks like we have, well, you know what? We're going to head over to the phones real quick. Looks like my good friend Gene from Oregon is on. Line one. Gene, how are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm up, not uptight, but that's okay. By the way, that's internet, not internet. If you're going to be serving the Bush, it's internet. Anyway, I know the subject has been beaten to death on this cop knock thing, but one of the things that this thing fails on so many levels, it's not even funny. I was thinking that, you know, you got somebody that has an incident with a cop and turns around and sues the city, and then the city's got to pay for it and all this stuff. And I look at this thing like it's a direct assault on local government. And I also feel like it's a setup to like Blackwater or any other security company like Wackenhut or something like that in there to provide private security. And that's really how I feel about it.
Well, you know, one of the things, I was reading my local newspaper today. We have a columnist here who is, he's not really rabidly right-wing, but he's definitely leans to the right. And one of the things he kept saying about this was that he didn't really see it, he didn't really think, he interpreted the ruling as not so much being a no-knock rule as it was a, you can admit evidence that you get from a no-knock.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, has the effect of saying, well, it's okay to do a no-knock, right?
Yeah.
But you know, you know how they are. They'll say, no, that's not what it meant, until it actually is what it meant. Oh, well, that was an unintended consequence.
Well, I'm
collateral damage, if you will.
Yeah, I'm just, the thing that worries me about this is we talk about Iraq and how basically it's the contractors that screw everything up. And I'm thinking they're sticking that Iraq scenario with when the contractors in Iraq, they're doing that, they're going to do that here. Like they did in New Orleans, only it's going to be nationwide. So yeah. I'm just a little concerned.
I'm concerned about Blackwater to begin with. That company is made up of people who got kicked out of the military, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
The Charles Grainers of the world are in Blackwater.
Oh, God. So it concerned me. And that's pretty much what I had to say, except to tell you, don't forget about Back to the Bunker Day on Monday.
Oh, yes, that's right. Back to the Bunker Day is the nation's capital evacuation day, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's going to be fun. We're going to cover that from afar, of course.
Okay. All right. Well,
I have my uplink satellite thing going on.
Cool. Well, enjoy the day, and I'm off to do laundry.
Well, Gene, thank you for checking in on the program, and definitely look forward to hearing from you again, my friend.
Okay. Take it easy.
All right. Thanks a lot. And thanks a lot for all the emails you sent to me. Ladies and gentlemen, just for your information, Gene is probably one of the best researchers I've ever met. So, yeah, you're fantastic, man. I appreciate it very, very much. And that's Gene from Oregon. He is one of our loyal listeners. We have loyal listeners on the horn. We definitely do. The folks who listen to this radio programming, my program, Bob's program, Guy James's program, Joe Vecchio on the weekends, they listen in 3 or 4 hour blocks, man. It's just amazing. So if he's going to go do laundry, fantastic, but do come back. All right. That was our good friend Gene from Oregon. Yes, the Blackwater folks, there's just so many topics he brought up there, about 3 different topics. But yeah, on Monday, the government is going to be evacuating, I think it was like 75 different parts of the government agencies. We're going to be evacuating. I talked about this a few weeks ago, or a week or two ago. I don't even know where the story is now. I'm sure I couldn't find it. But they're going to be evacuating to various undisclosed locations to try to run the government from a shadow situation. You are listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program, Radio for a Free America. If you want to get in on the show, 1-877-443-2366 or bruce@brucebirch.com. I'll be right back.
The president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard, and we could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
In the beginning, there was dirt, water, and air.
And it was good. Once, Planet Check. Planet Check.
With gas prices skyrocketing at the pump, there is a cheap, renewable alternative fuel.
Rudolph Diesel actually designed the diesel engine to run on vegetable oil over 100 years ago.
A diesel engine that runs on used vegetable oil?
We get the used vegetable oil from fast food restaurants.
It's called biodiesel.
I got a biodiesel.
Joshua Tickle, author of From the Fryer to the Fuel Tank, explains.
Biodiesel is a clean-burning diesel fuel that's actually made from vegetable oil. It's usable in any diesel engine. You don't have to modify the engine. You just pour biodiesel right into it.
Pour some veggie fuel into
to that tank.
The environmental benefits of biodiesel are that it's cleaner, it's healthy for humans, plants, and animals.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he a... Nureyev. Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he a guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
You're back on the Bruce Burke Radio Program. Radio for a free America, being brought to you on the Head On Radio Network. We got off, started off the show talking about DHS employee Brian Doyle, who was whispering sweet nothings through the internet. Thank you, Gene. Through the internet to some fictitious girl named Ash Lynn. And, you know, of course, you have to make the correlation between the name Ash Lynn and, the adult entertainment industry. Ash Lynn, Mercedes, Tiffany Gemini, Cheyenne, I don't know. I mean, just, you know, what's another one? Cheyenne Blue. Oh my God! Just keeps getting stranger and stranger. And these are the people who were supposed to have been looking out for our best interest. All right, there's a couple things I wanted to cover really quickly before we get to our guest, who will be here after the bottom of the hour. And I want to read a piece by Cindy Sheehan. This will only take a second, and it's very, very, very important that you read this or that you hear this. This is called 2,500 Dead, How Many More? And this is a piece by Cindy Sheehan. You can actually read this at progressive.org. On February 1st, I was arrested at the State of the Union address for wearing a Veterans for Peace shirt that said 2,245 Dead, How Many More? A little more than 4 months later, we are now tragically marking the deaths of 255 more of our brave and wonderful young American soldiers. And today, with 2,500 dead, I ask again, how many more? And with tens of thousands of Iraqi civilians, maybe even a lot more than the 100,000 killed, I ask, how many more? All of their families, American and Iraqi, will never be the same again due to the trickery and deceit of the commander-in-chief of the U.S. military and his advisors and cabinet members. And for what? So Halliburton can get reconstruction contracts and ExxonMobil can lay its pipelines and charge $3.50 for a gallon of gas? Over the last year, I've spoken at high schools that have about 2,000 to 2,500 students on campus. I ask them to close their eyes and visualize an empty school. Only then can they begin to relate to this devastating number. But for those of us who have lost a son or daughter or a brother or a sister or a father or a mother in this war, the number one is more than enough. One empty chair at the table. one folded flag on the mantle, one driverless car sitting in the driveway waiting for the finance company to come and pick it up, one person never coming home, one broken family that cannot be repaired. How many more? How many more of our nation's finest are we willing to kill to enhance the bottom line of the Halliburtons and the ExxonMobils? How many more of our young wounded, 18,000 at this moment, is it going to take before our country wakes up? How many more Iraqi babies are we going to allow our leaders to murder before we realize that all babies are precious, loved, and mourned when they are killed? How many more empty speeches and blathering platitudes will we allow our misleaders to utter before they are held accountable? How many more mothers are we going to watch sobbing over their children's flag-draped coffins before we get out in the streets and demand an end to the immoral and illegal occupation so no other mothers will have to be plunged into a pool of pain? I had my fill on April 4th, 2004, when my son Casey was killed in a war that never should have happened. How many more will it take for you? And that was by Cindy Sheehan. She says she is returning to Camp Casey in Crawford, Texas this summer. I don't know about anyone else, but that touches my heart. Because across the nation in all of the towns and cities that are, that you know, large and small, there are many mothers and there are many fathers this Father's Day weekend who will be without their sons. Who will be without their sons. Due to George Bush's war of choice in Iraq. It's not fair. It is absolutely not fair. I do implore you, to go to the Progressive and read that. That's just one of those pieces that is incredible. It is just incredible. Wow, what do you talk about after that? Hard to talk about pedophiles, Homeland Security aides. Hard to talk about, where Bush or where Gore disapproval is. It's hard to talk about the data mining program. It's hard to talk about Rice, Condoleezza Rice, hearing positive things from Iran when there's going to be an empty chair at Sunday dinner on Father's Day this year for so many Americans. You know what's the most powerful thing, though? The most powerful thing that anyone can do. The most powerful thing that anyone can do is to reach out to one of those soldiers that's still among us and to say to him or her, I care about you, and I certainly do hope that you make it back in one piece. We're going to talk about this a little bit after the 6 o'clock hour because there's a church up in Seattle, Washington, I'm sorry, up in Tacoma, that has decided that it wants to harbor, it has declared itself a sanctuary for servicemen and servicewomen who don't want to go to Iraq. And we'll talk about that some, and we'll talk about some other things after we have our guest on. But I just had to share that piece with you because I read it the first time and it brought a tear to my eye, and I read it a second time to you on air and it brought another tear to my eye. You know, it's just, it amazes me. It amazes me that these young men and women are used for pawns. I say no more, and you should too. You're listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program, Radio for a Free America. I'll be right back.
Find a sheet. There's a place on the web you can go where everything is so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there working hard for you every day. It's a place where you can go to raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. DUBYAD40.com. So stop on by. The 101st Fighting Keyboardists of Kansas are ready to hear your opinion. There are topics of news, current events, and great humor. So let Clyde, Wally, and Dookie know that you're a working person too. WD40.com. Stop on by.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. A lot of people are up in arms about the Supreme Court's no-knock decision. I agree. I think it's outrageous. Making police knock before barging into the sanctity of people's homes is fundamental to the Fourth Amendment and to the principle underlying it that dates way back to the 13th century. Talk about turning back the clocks. But there's a decision that bothers me even more, and it's received a lot less attention. And that's a ruling on June 14th by federal judge John Gleason that the government can detain non-citizens indefinitely without explanation and can do so on the basis of race, religion, or national origin. Gleason's ruling would have justified the Japanese internment camps for all except those who were citizens at the time. In the here and now, it's an especially distressing ruling because it bestows a blessing on one of the Bush administration's many power grabs after 9/11. During the Ashcroft raids, the government rounded up 5,000 immigrants and deprived them of their due process rights. And Judge Gleason says that's okay? The Fifth Amendment says no person shall be deprived of due process. And the 14th Amendment echoes that and says no person shall be denied the equal protection of the laws. So now the Bush administration and Judge Gleason are treating immigrants as non-persons. How sweet it isn't. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
You're back on with the Bruce Birch radio program, Radio for a Free America, being brought to you by the Head On Radio Network. And as I promised earlier in the program, we've got a good friend of the show and a good friend of the anti-corruption folks of D.C. on the line with us, our good friend Wayne Madsen from WayneMadsenReport.com. Wayne, how are you doing today?
Good. Good to be with you.
Great to have you with us. Now, I got the first thing I wanted to do is just sort of like ask you, first of all, now, I noticed that you just published a book.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about the book, and then we'll get into some other things.
Well, you know, it's not easy getting anti-Bush books out to, during these times. I had one publisher who bailed on the project, had a little pressure and found another one, but they had a few problems. But after 2.5 years and a lot of issues, it's out on the bookshelves now. It's called Jaded Tasks. Blood Politics of George Bush and Company. We certainly see a lot of that today.
Absolutely. Before we get too far into some of the other things, just, you know, could you run down sort of a laundry list of some of the topics you cover in the book?
Well, I did, you know, if I actually had written a book that covered all of the Bush dastardly deeds and criminal activities, it would probably resemble the Manhattan White Pages. I decided not to go into Prescott Bush. I started with Poppy, but basically concentrated on the kids. the four sons, George W., Jeb, Neil, and the one that people really have hardly ever heard of, Marvin Bush, who's sort of a neighbor here in Northern Virginia. I'm in Arlington, right across the river from D.C., and Marvin lives down in Alexandria. But Marvin is involved in an awful lot of dubious activities and has been for quite some time. Many of his partners are wealthy Arabs from Kuwait and Saudi Arabia. Marvin actually was on the board of a company that provided security for the Dulles Airport and the Trade Center in New York prior to 9/11. So there's an awful lot of things Marvin has been involved with. And had that been, had this been any other president's brother, whether it was Donald Nixon or Roger Clinton, the media would have been all over these guys, but the Bushes get a free pass. On other issues in the book, I talk about, of course, Halliburton, the Carlyle Group, some of the questionable activities that took place with the Trans-Afghan Pipeline prior to 9/11. Well, it goes on and on. Dirty deals in Africa and the coup attempt against Hugo Chavez in Venezuela in April of 2002. It's a long list, but I tried to cover just about everything since George W. Bush has gotten into office.
Well, you know, since ladies and gentlemen, I met Wayne at the Take Back America conference in D.C. I just happened to be walking by, and there he was standing there. I was like, Wayne Madsen?
Well,
hey, guy.
I've actually gone to, that was the, I think, the fourth one they've had, and it's always kind of fun to go to those. You see a lot of people, either you know or you've heard of. So I'm glad we.
Yeah, it was great. And so Wayne gave me a copy of his book, and I plan on reading it, trying to get into that this weekend, some when I have a little bit extra time. And then we'll talk about it real soon.
Some of
the more
in-depth. What you'll read in there. I also recommend you either have wine or beer, or whatever alcoholic beverage of your choice, handy when you read this thing.
How about just a fat cigar?
that might suffice as well.
Okay. Well, Wayne, let's get into some of the shenanigans that are going on in D.C. I've read so many things on your website. I just got to tell you that I kind of see you as the guy who has the inside dirt on what's going on in D.C. Wanted to ask you one specific question before I ask you about anything else. Okay, tell me about the Mayflower Hotel.
The Mayflower. Well, you know, there's a lot of rumors that come your way when you're in D.C. If you noticed at the conference, most of the information was not being passed from the podiums over the sure. Loudspeaker systems. But basically, if you noticed, people were huddled in corners or in the corner of coffee shops or the bar and whatnot. And that's where most of the information is imparted in this town. You hear a lot of things, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear it from credible sources, you have to pay attention. And I heard from a very credible source that Laura Bush, I guess it was 2 weeks ago now, had left the White House with her Secret Service detail. It was her and her detail were spotted at the Mayflower Hotel. Now that's four blocks north of the White House on Connecticut Avenue. And she was there at least one night, possibly other nights, but at least one night. And the whole issue was because she finally had it out with her husband, the president, over a long ongoing, apparently, relationship between George W. Bush and Condoleezza Rice, which I've heard afterwards, that had gone back to the time when George W. Bush was a hatchet man in his father's White House, and Condoleezza Rice was an official, not a high, you know, medium level official in the National Security Council.
Wow. Let me ask you this. I know you can't divulge your sources directly, but what makes a credible source to Wayne Madsen?
Well, it's somebody who I know is well connected in the town, somebody who's on the circuit, what I call the A-list. Or B-list circuit here. Not everybody gets to go to the A-list functions, but you hear an awful lot and witness an awful lot at even the B-list functions. When I say A or B-list, I'm talking about the soirees that are held embassies, hotel reception rooms, private clubs and places like that. So when you hear that kind of stuff from these particular sources, and they run the whole gamut from government officials, former government officials, and what I call socialites, they still exist. It sounds like a 60s term, but socialites still exist in Washington. That to me is a credible source because they are the first to witness these people in action, the what I call the glitterati or the punditocracy of Washington, D.C.
What's the okay? So I will take that to mean then that when you're getting information, you're calling a who you're calling a credible source would be at least at a minimum first-hand receiver of information and at a maximum second-hand.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Okay.
And at a second-hand, the information would come from a very very high level individual.
Okay. Well, you know, that just blows me away about Laura Bush. Although I don't, I really don't. It doesn't surprise me. I mean, you know, he's a sociopath.
Well, he is, and after all, Laura Bush is she was a librarian. She's dealing with an obvious illiterate. You know, I don't know how a person whose profession is reading books could even live with somebody who's so stupid and illiterate. But I guess even though they've been married all these many years, from what I understand, it's not been a happy marriage. And people say, well, why would you go there? Why would you get involved with the private life of the president? Well, I say, well, what did you people do with Bill and Hillary Clinton? What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Many people, couples in this country have marital problems. But it's the president of the United States, somebody who has that awesome responsibility, I think it's very much fair game.
Were you also the one who reported on the George Bush Victor Ash story?
Well, you know, that's been ongoing for a long time. Actually, I received correspondence some time ago from a woman named Leola McConnell in the state of Nevada, who said she was I thought she said dominatrix. Now I've been set straight. There's a difference between a dominatrix and a domina. A domina apparently is an individual woman who actually supervises things, but doesn't get involved, where a dominatrix apparently does actually get involved in various activities. I'm not an expert on this, and my God, I don't want to sound like I am. but anyway, she contacted me and told me she told me some explosive things about some of her clients. They were all Republicans, top level Republicans, and I said, well, in some cases, these guys have been out of public life for so long, I really can't go there because, you know, if they're public officials, that's one thing, but if they've been in the private sector for a while, you got to be careful about libel and things like that. So I didn't pursue it, but apparently the alternative paper in Boston did on this one particular case. But since that time, Leola McConnell has decided to run for the Democratic nomination to be governor of Nevada. Now she's given up her old profession, which I might add is perfectly legal in Nevada. She's been quite vocal about what she saw in 1984 between one private citizen, George W. Bush, and one candidate for the U.S. Senate in Tennessee against Al Gore named Victor Ash. It was very detailed, and I believe she's telling the truth, because what she is indicating is that the so-called born-again Christian evangelical Republicans who want to get in everybody else's bedrooms obviously would not want us to get into theirs because of some of the secrets they're hiding, and these people are absolute hypocrites. And I think Ms. McConnell is just another person who has witnessed the hypocrisy from this gang firsthand, and I wish her all the success. And I said, my God, if she could become a Democratic governor of Nevada, then there would finally have somebody who could whip that state into shape and beat the Republicans into submission.
Yeah. Can you stick with us till after the break?
Oh, sure.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come right back, and I'll ask you about some of the stuff that's been going on this week, if you're up to it.
Sure, no problem.
Great. We're talking with Wayne Madsen of WayneMadsenReport.com. You are listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program, being brought to you by the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
Beauregard T. Clampett, I'm told, on line one.
Hi there, Bob.
Well, Mr. Clampett, how are you, sir?
That's fine, sir. You have had a ruckus on the airwaves this evening, Bob, and I just got to tell you where I fall down on this subject.
And fall down you do, I suppose.
So you catch on quick, I tell you. You're very quick, very quick. But I did want to just, because I kept hearing things like amnesty, and I've had to tell you, Bob, if we have amnesty, we can't work them to death like we're doing. We can't pay them $3 an hour if we let them become citizens now, can we?
That whole 13th Amendment thing's still a thorn in your side, isn't it?
Oh, we won't talk about that either, Bob. Now, we're working on repealing that sucker, but it's going to take a while.
Catch Bob Kincaid weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m., right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Good man underground.
Head on.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. I go to peacecorps.gov.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. Hertenew oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductocarcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Listen to me, Shirley Jones. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the Internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Back on the Bruce Birch radio program, and on the line with me on the talking about what's going on in D.C. is Wayne Madsen of WayneMadsenReport.com. Welcome back to the show, Wayne.
Good to be back with you.
All right. I wanted to ask you about some of the things that are going on this week. What are the shenanigans that are happening this week in D.C.?
Well, probably the biggest thing today was this bill in the House. On the war, it's another Republican trick to get Democrats to vote against, you know, motherhood and apple pie issues like we have to fight the global war on terror. Basically, it was a bill on the war itself and setting a timetable. And we see the influence of Karl Rove once again. He's now figures he's got a clean bill of health. I think, you know, in some respects, the jury's still out on Rove. It looks like he dodged one bullet, but we don't know where this investigation is ultimately heading. But I think the worrisome part of this is that Rove is now free to engage in his typical dirty politics and also vote shenanigans, vote fraud shenanigans with people like Blackwell in Ohio and other Republican secretaries of state in other states, including California. And we have this guy out there running amok, and I think that's going to spell some real problems for November because we see the master manipulator at it again, and I think the Democrats and progressives are going to have to be doubly alert to what's happening in every state in the country with this guy because this guy's background is just unbelievable when you look at the dirty tricks he's done ever since he was basically an understudy of a guy named Don Segretti who went to jail because he conducted dirty tricks on behalf of the Nixon campaign in 1972.
Right. Now, was there anything interesting that happened at the conference earlier in the week? I mean, any interesting tidbits that as a result of that?
Well, I think we all saw the reaction Hillary Clinton got when she said she opposed a timetable for withdrawal. She was, you know, there were catcalls and boos and whatnot. But what I saw clearly from this conference is a split. Actually, it's a three-way split. It's not just between the DLC, Democratic Leadership Council, people who are called Democrat lights or quasi-Republicans, but also I saw the old labor unions, the old coalition that goes back to the days of Franklin D. Roosevelt. They call themselves, of course, they're liberal, but they don't seem to get it because what I saw at the conference, this conference was extraordinarily white, elderly and Northeast ethnic and had a large contingent of old labor union guys, and really that's not where the country is. We've got Asian and Hispanic populations that are much more important. African Americans are becoming increasingly politically active, even though it's very tough for them to get around these basically return to Jim Crow laws that are being designed in places like Georgia and other states like Missouri to bring back voter IDs, which is basically like the old literacy tests and the old poll taxes that used to keep these people away from the polls. So I saw a three-way split, and then I saw the progressive community, the younger people that know where the country is. They're out there, so I see a three-way split, and it's just a shame that people can't start singing from the same choir sheet and recognize the realities of the time we live. This is not the Depression era in the 1930s, although the economy certainly is starting to look like we're getting close to that. But I'm afraid that old political dynamic I saw at the Take Back America conference is still prevalent in the Democratic Party, and people are going to have to start thinking with new ideas and recognize that this country has changed. The ethnic makeup of the country is much more different than it was in our parents' generation.
What's going to be going on next week up there in D.C.?
Well, I think we're going to, you know, see this continuation of this Bush bounce back. I love the mainstream media saying that this was the best week he's had in a long time. So his brain beat an indictment. That's supposed to be a good thing. He went over and dealt with a puppet in Iraq. You know, he was only there in the country for 5 hours. And I think, you know, it was extraordinary that he had the prime minister of Iraq come to see him at the U.S. Embassy, which is one of Saddam's old palaces. I think it's the first time in history a state visit was conducted anywhere where the host head of government had to go see the visiting head of state in that head of state's own embassy as the first meeting. And I think it goes to show that Iraq is a long way off from being a sovereign a nation, and it still looks very much like a U.S. Basically a U.S. colony. So we're going to see a lot more about the Bush bounce back. I'm going to have to hold my nose and suppress my nausea as we see this, but I think that's going to continue into next week. We're going to see some jockeying around in the Senate and the House on things like flag burning amendments. But keep in mind, Congress has a very important priority. They're going to get ready to break for the 4th of July recess. So when they're gone, they can't do any damage. So that's the only good thing I see, if they can get out of town before they can pass any other retrogressive legislation.
All right, Wayne. Well, I definitely appreciate you joining us on the program. I know you have another interview to get to here very shortly, and so I just wanted to thank you for joining us today. What do you think about making this a recurring thing on Fridays?
Oh, absolutely. No problem. Just let me know. I don't know where I'm usually going to be Friday, but I'm either in my office or downtown. But either way, I'm easily accessible.
All right. Well, I'll drop you an email. We'll see if we can work out the particulars.
Sounds good. Good to be with
all right.
you.
Great to have you with us. That was Wayne Madsen, everyone, of WayneMadsenReport.com. I encourage you strongly to go and check out his website, as well as he just released a book. And the book's title is, I'm scrolling down here, Jaded Tasks by Wayne Madsen. And it just came out on May 26th, 2006. So, you know, you can actually, I think you can buy it from right off of his website. You can go to Amazon, I think, carries it, and some other wonderful booksellers. Jaded Tasks, The Blood Politics of George Bush and Company. So good to have Wayne on with us this afternoon to give us our Washington Roundup for the week. You are listening to the Bruce Birch radio program. This is Radio for a Free America. And if you want to get in on the show after the break, you can call 1-877-443-2366, or you can send me an email to bruce@brucebirch.com. We are being brought to you by the Head On Radio Network.
But if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in a cry, say live and let die.
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
Told Walmart to sell the Easter egg dye kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. We decided at Camp David that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. And God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. So now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I've got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the Decider. I'm the Decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
This is the Quality News Network. The U.S. House has rejected a timetable to withdraw U.S. troops from Iraq. The vote on the non-binding resolution followed heated partisan debate. The Senate rejected a similar measure yesterday. At the White House, President Bush signed the $94.5 billion emergency spending bill. The majority of the money will fund U.S. war efforts in Iraq and Afghanistan. In Baghdad, at least 13 people have been killed by a suicide shoe bomber inside a Shia mosque. Several dozen people were injured. The blast occurred in spite of a massive security crackdown in Baghdad to restore order. Also in Baghdad, the U.S. military has begun a criminal investigation into last month's deaths of three Iraqi men held in U.S. custody. Several other soldiers allegedly witnessed the incident and reported it. In Washington, the investigation into whether U.S. Marines killed Iraqi civilians in Haiti last November has been completed. There's also a second investigation underway to decide whether criminal charges should be filed against those involved in the incident. An hour ago, a Washington, D.C. grand jury agreed not to indict Congressman Cynthia McKinney in an altercation earlier this year with a Capitol policeman. On Capitol Hill, the House voted unanimously to remove Louisiana Congressman William Jefferson from the Ways and Means Committee. Jefferson is the target of an FBI bribery investigation. The Homeland Security Department warns that most U.S. cities and states are still unprepared for catastrophes, be they natural or man-made. The agency reports across the country local plans for disasters are out of date and uncoordinated. In New Mexico, thousands of people have been evacuated in front of a wildfire in the Gila National Forest. Started by a lightning strike, the fire has scorched more than 7,000 acres. For the first time, avian flu has been found in the eastern Canadian province of Prince William Island. The disease gosling was found in a small poultry flock in a residential backyard. Authorities are investigating. The Chinese are attempting to control the spread of a toxic spill of coal tar into the Dasha River. They're building makeshift dams, hoping to reach the water before it reaches the supply of the city with 10 million people. You're listening to the Quality News Network. It's 2.5 minutes past the hour.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Delta Airlines wants to opt out of its pension plan for its pilots. The bankrupt airline says its near-term cost for retiring pilots exceeds $1 billion. 6,000 pilots work for Delta. Whole Foods says it will stop selling live lobsters at its chain stores. The decision follows a seventh-month company study on the humane treatment of the crustaceans. Amazon is now selling groceries online. The Seattle-based internet retailer is testing the grocery site, which offers 15,000 non-perishable items, half of which are organic. Ford says it will funnel millions of dollars into three factories in Mexico. The additional investment south of the border, as well as construction of a new plant in an undisclosed location, is billed as part of the automaker's economic turnaround effort. The Chinese government is trying to slow down a bustling investment boom. It's ordered Chinese banks to increase reserves. The announcement today led to a stumble in the currencies of Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Japan. Light sweet crude ended trading at $69.88 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow was down 1 point at 11,015. The NASDAQ was down 14 at 2130. The S&P 500 was down 5 at 1252. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
It's time for another hour of Conversation Radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce Birch.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. I'm Bruce Birch. I'm your host. If you want to get in on the show, you can call 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877, the number 4, Head On. You can also send me an email to bruce@brucebirch.com. I can get your communication that way. And if you definitely want to, you know, write me something and try to get it on the air, you know, the earlier the better. So I'll keep checking it, but, you know, hey. I want to make sure I have time to get you in on the program. Now, we just had Wayne Madsen on of WayneMadsenReport.com, and we're going to try to keep, you know, we're going to try to make that a regular Friday feature here. We'll see how that goes. And I talk with him after the show and see if we can keep him on. And because he reminds me sort of like the old fashioned reporter, the old fashioned. Check, check, checking 1, 1, 2. All right, well, anyway, all right. Oh, great, 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 we're back, I'm sorry. All right, it's 9 minutes after the hour. We had a little bit of a technical situation going on there, and looks like we are back, and everything seems to be working okay. For some reason, we had a little bit of a glitch there. Well, it's all right. We'll get right to the next story that I wanted to cover after the top of the hour, and that is that there is a church in First United Methodist Church of Tacoma in Tacoma, Washington, has declared itself a sanctuary for servicemen and servicewomen who do not want to go to Iraq. The 300-member congregation's administrative council voted last weekend to open its doors beginning this Saturday after First Lieutenant Aaron Watada announced that he thinks the war in Iraq is illegal and that he has sought to resign his commission. A statement from the church Wednesday said that service members who are unable to deploy to combat areas for reasons of conscience can find protection behind its doors. The Reverend Monty Smith said, quote, "Our initiative was because of Lieutenant Watada's gesture and a clear sense that we have, as a reconciling congregation, deeply involved in justice issues throughout the city, that any war, particularly this one, is inconsistent with Christian teachings." Now, oops, wrong button. Okay, now, sorry about that, excuse me. Smith said that the church stands in solidarity with others who hold similar social justice convictions. The church essentially is providing a protective space and resources to those contemplating whether to resist deployment in Iraq. He also said that the church has so far has received no applications for sanctuary from members of the armed forces. It has protocols and precautions to ensure that anyone who seeks sanctuary is doing so for legal and religious reasons. Legal reasons. If you want to jump out of the war and you want to avoid going to combat, that would be illegal. So, anyway, okay. Well, it's kind of cool that they're doing this, at least, that they voted open its doors to those who would like to refrain, if you will, from going to the war. Now, if you want to get in on the show, you can do that by dialing 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-443-2366, and I'm being told by Benedict in the chat room that there is a website for Watada, and it's called thankyoult.org, thankyoult.org. So if you're interested in checking out his story or you want to add your name to the petition to say thank you for standing up for international U.S. and military law by refusing to deploy to Iraq in support of the ongoing illegal war and occupation, go to thankyoult.org to check that out and sign on to the petition that is there. Now, the interesting thing about this sanctuary is that it's a Methodist church, and the president's denomination is Methodism. So I just find that to be sort of a slap in his face. There you go. All right. Getting on to some other things. Again, if you want to get on the show, you can do that by dialing into 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. I wanted to talk about a couple other items that I have on my plate today, not the least of which is the whole thing about the pedophile Homeland Security guy, if you want to get in on that. Also, we have another story related to the Total Information Awareness Office, which is still going. It's just going on in the NSA. We're going to talk about that as well. If you're wanting to talk about more of the spying and the crazy stuff that goes on with that, there's also a story out of New Jersey related to the surveillance, the illegal surveillance that is going on that the government is participating in. We're going to talk about that also here shortly. But before we do go out to this just seems like a really short segment. I guess it's because we had the little glitch thing going on there at the beginning of this segment. You are listening to the Bruce Birch radio program. It's Radio for Free America. And we'll be right back after these messages.
James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from the inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Being Latino made it harder because there's a silence over things. There's just things that you don't talk about.
Real men, real depression. Rodolfo Pomelu Leon talks about it.
When I told my parents I had depression, I was like, look, Mom, I'm depressed. You know, I can't deal with things anymore. And once I involved other people, it became easier.
It takes courage to ask for help. For information, call the National Institute of Mental Health at 1-866-227-NIMH.
Dog attacks and dog bites come in all sizes. Think your dog doesn't bite? Don't be so sure. Dog attacks are one of the nation's most commonly reported public health problems. Francia Smith, consumer advocate for the U.S. Postal Service.
With the summer heat and children out of school, the dog bite risk gets worse. But with a little care, dog owners can prevent most attacks and protect themselves, too, from the serious legal, financial, and emotional consequences that often result. Over half the dog bite victims are children. Any dog can bite for the first time, even with the owner there. So whether you are a dog owner or not, please take the time to learn about dog safety. Visit USPS.com and type the words dog bite into the search box for the links you need. You'll be glad you did.
This message is provided as a public service by this station and the U.S. Postal Service.
Back on the Bruce Birch radio program. We're not looking back. Hell no. It's Friday afternoon. It's Friday evening here on the east coast of the United States. It's about 20 minutes past the hour here at the Bruce Burt radio program. We are being brought to you by the Head On Radio Network. So just wanted to, you know, we went off to that break, and we had a little bit of a glitch there last hour, and I don't want to talk about it too much longer. But I wanted to bring you to your attention that, you know, the ongoing struggle over illegal wiretapping is continuing. The New Jersey Attorney General has issued subpoenas to five telephone companies to determine whether any of them violated the state's consumer protection laws by providing records to the National Security Agency. Experts say it is the first legal move by a state to question the agency's program to compile calling records to track terrorist activities. On Wednesday, the United States filed a lawsuit to block the subpoenas, setting up a legal showdown pitting the state's authority to protect consumer rights against the federal government's national security powers. The Attorney General Zulema V. Farber said, people, quote, people in New Jersey and people everywhere have privacy rights. What we were trying to determine was whether the phone companies in New Jersey had violated any law or any contractual obligations with their consumers by supplying information to some government entity simply by request and not by any court order or search warrant, end quote. The latest confrontation over the invocation of national security began last month when Ms. Farber issued the subpoenas to the companies AT&T, Verizon, Quest, Sprint, Nextel, and Singular Wireless to determine whether they had turned over the phone records to the federal government without a court order. Yes, there is an open front in the war on the Bush administration in New Jersey. Thank you, Attorney General of New Jersey. If you get a chance, send that Attorney General an email and say thank you for taking on the big guys. We're going to head over to the phones now. My good friend Jim is on line one. Jim, get down, Bob, please. Jim, you're going to have to turn down your microphone or your speakers for us to get you on the air, okay? Give him a second. All right, let's go ahead and take him now. Jim, are you there? Okay. We don't have Jim. All right, let's go over to Wayne on line two. Jim, do call back, though, please. I'd love to talk with you. Wayne on line two. Wayne, how you doing, man?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
I was going to say, this is Wayne Rebich from the Labor Report. I don't, you know, I mean, I'm a Wayne, too, but you know me, man. I can't, you know, I don't type fast enough for blogging, but I can run my mouth faster than anybody I know. So.
Wayne, is your middle name Wayne?
No, I have no middle name.
Okay, well, good, because, you know, the middle name, the people who have Wayne for their middle names often are the, yeah, we're not going to, okay.
Often are what? Because I named that? Two of my sons middle named Wayne. So
did you really? Okay, well, you know, well, one of them, actually, we just heard one of them is a musician, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, so.
Okay.
But we're, you know, I'm not gonna. We'll leave it at that.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Thank you. Spare
me. What's going on?
You know, huh?
What's going on with you today?
You know, same old stuff. You know, trying to pay attention to stuff, trying to get ready for a wedding. You know,
uh-oh,
all that
stuff.
Getting
married.
My middle son. My
middle son is. Oh wow.
Second son.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to death, man. You know, I'm thrilled to death. You know, we're. And, you know, if you want to take a ride next Saturday, man, you're invited.
Oh, cool.
You know, big tent at the house and, you know, the whole nine yards.
I think next Saturday is going to be the state Democratic convention here in North Carolina, Wayne.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so I'm actually planning to attend that as a journalist to see what's going on there. So.
Well, yeah, I think you should. Well, you know, talking about that, we're having a... Well, if everybody agrees, a three-county Democratic picnic on July the 30th, which is a Sunday, here at my house, you know, tent, you know, the whole, you know, I got 3.5 acres of, well, some people like to call it lawn. I call it shortly mowed hay because that's what it is, you know, so you can park on it and things like that. And, I'm really looking forward to it. And I start, you know, thinking, geez, I don't really have anything to say, but, you know, just say the right word, and you said Democrat, and that's the right word. You know, we are really, really working hard here to, we're taking back the Democratic Party. I mean, just like taking back America, you know, we've got to get rid of the DLC people and all, because all they are is corporate people, you know, with a D after their name instead of an R, you know, and a lot of them might be a hell of a lot happier if they'd put an R after their name. At least you can, it's not so confusing. Do you understand? You know, it's, you still there, buddy?
Sure. I'm still here.
Okay. And, so that's part of what we're doing here. And, you know, we gotta get, the Democratic Party is the party of the working people. And, you know, we have been accused of not being that anymore. And some of it is justified. Some of it has been justified, you know. And we're going to turn that around. And the county that I live in West Virginia has not cared. I mean, the last two presidential elections, this county voted for George Bush. And, you know, you're talking about a 2-to-1 Democratic majority. And then the last two presidential elections, they voted for that idiot. So, you know, we have a lot of work to do, but we're going to start, and we're going to do it, and we're going to do it, you know.
Well, I absolutely believe that we can take back. You know, taking back America has to start with taking back the party because, you know, in reality, the folks who are at the helm of the party, they don't understand. I don't believe they understand the struggles that you and I go through in our you know, being working people, Wayne. I don't think they do.
You couldn't have said that better. They're out of touch. I mean, when you have Democrats that vote for this bankruptcy bill, they're out of touch with their constituents
and out of their freaking minds. Also,
exactly. You know, but see, you know, I mean, these guys have made themselves millionaires and have, you know, isolated themselves to where none of that stuff bothers them, and you know, all the corporate people and all the lobbyists on Wall Street convince them that this is the right thing to do, that people want this, you know, and they're 100% wrong. It's just that simple.
I totally think. Can you hang on while we take a break, Wayne?
Sure, buddy.
All right. Well, we're talking with Wayne, Union Man Wayne, up in West Virginia. We're going to be back here in just a moment. Been back with your phone calls. If you want to get in on the show, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. You're listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program, Radio for a Free America. We'll be right back.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website over at progressive.org. George Bush has had one success in office. He succeeded in tarnishing the U.S. image abroad. A new study by the Pew Global Attitudes Project shows a distressing decline over the last 6 years. The favorability ratings of the U.S. fell in Indonesia, the most populous Muslim country in the world, from 75% to 30%. In Turkey, from 52% to 12%, and we give Turkey a ton of aid. In Egypt, another Muslim country that gets a lot of U.S. aid, only 30% approve of George Bush's America. In Jordan, only 15%. Even our allies in what Donald Rumsfeld so callously called Old Europe have begun to shun us. Our rating in Great Britain fell from 83% to 56%. In France, from 62% to 39%. In Germany, from 78% all the way down to 37%. And in Spain, it fell from 50% to less than half, 23%. So if you're planning on going to Europe or the Middle East this summer, don't expect to be greeted warmly, and you can blame your chilly reception on George Bush and on his Iraq war and on his arrogant attitude and his disdain for international law. No one likes a bully. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free, and it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Back on the Bruce Burke radio program. If you're interested in that particular song, that's Scott Ainsley. You can go to cattailmusic.com to pick up that CD or download some of the tracks that are on that CD. It's a CD that's full of progressive, wonderful music that is actually new progressive music. Not old progressive music, but new progressive music. We were talking to Wayne on the line before we went to the break. Wayne, are you back with us?
I sure am, buddy. Sure.
Good to have you back.
That was a great song, man.
Isn't that a good song? I interviewed Scott back in October of last year, and you know he's actually even a better interview than he is a musician. So,
what's his last name?
Scott Ainsley, A-I-N-S-L-I-E.
Well, I'm going to have to try to get that. That's beautiful music. Beautiful music.
And he actually on that particular CD, there's actually even. I think we may even I don't know if they have it there at the studio, but there's a song called It's My World Too that I think you would enjoy, Wayne, because it talks about the workers of a steel mill and you know all the struggles that they did and trying to keep it union steel mill and all that good stuff. So I highly recommend that album to you.
I came from a steel town. I was born in a little town called Aliquippa, Pennsylvania, which is a little north of Pittsburgh, and Jones and Loughran Steel Corporation. In fact, I forget the exact year, but that was the first case before the NLRB that said that the people could join a union and form a union. It was, well, I'll get you the information on it, and, you know, there are so many things. This network is so important, and the song you mentioned, It's Our World Too, and that's what Democrats have to understand, and that's You know, we've been beaten down. You know, people have, you know, to be called a liberal is a bad word. And, you know, we have to take that back and explain to people that it isn't a bad word. If it wasn't for liberal Democrats, you wouldn't have half of the programs that you have today. You wouldn't have most of the programs that you have today. You wouldn't have the 8-hour work day. You wouldn't have Social Security. You wouldn't have unemployment. You wouldn't have, you know, and our people and our party have to be reminded of that, and they have to be emboldened again. And I don't know if I ever explained the origin of that word to you. Do you know where that word came from, emboldened?
No, tell me.
That's an old Serbian word. And, you know, roughly translated, it means to give balls. So,
I love it.
Of course, I made that all up in my own little brain, but you know, believe me, that's what the word means, you know. And we have to do that, and I think we can do that. You know, I really think we can do that. You know, and that's why I say that's why your program and Bob's and you know, you guys, you and John Fox and all the people, you know, Guy James, you know, FDR liberal buddy, you know, and it's important that your voice be heard, and that's, you know, well, you know, because all we hear is the right wing thing because they had a plan and it was very successful. They have taken over the media, and, you know, this is a way of fighting back and giving people the courage to stand up again. And you know, believe me, we're going to do that. We are going to do that. And, well, I welcome everybody to this party that, well, have kind of not really shied away, but they're not willing to admit where they are, or who they are. You know what I mean?
Right.
And,
yeah.
And I think we're going to have great success at it. I truly do. And you guys are a huge part of this. You're a huge part of this. And, well, I thank God for you and this network. I mean, it's, well, it's just a wonderful thing. And,
I think
know,
it is a wonderful thing. And I, you know, I don't, I'm not one to toot my horn at all because I, you know, for me, I'm doing what I feel as far as my end of this, Wayne. You know, I rarely ever talk about, well, no, it's not necessarily true. Most of the time I don't talk about what motivated me to do radio, but you know, in reality, what it was all about from the very beginning was about the realization that I came to one day and I said, you know what, if we are sliding down the hill to fascism, to totalitarianism in the United States, well, you know, when I'm an old man, I'm talking to my grandchildren, you know, and the story's already been told, Wayne, you know, when the story's already been written, you know, 30 or 40 years from now, will I be able to look at them in the face and say, I did everything I could possibly do to keep that from happening? And the answer that I had was no.
Well, that,
and so I went to work.
That's exactly right, Bruce. You know, and listen, if we don't stand up now, our children and grandchildren, I mean, you know, I have three sons, you know, 26, 25, and 22. If we don't change things, these poor kids don't have a shot. They don't have a chance. I mean, the way that this government and this, I hate to call it an administration, this debacle that's, you know, controlling our country right now is taking us down the wrong path. And the common ordinary people, the people that built this country, the people that built the middle class, don't have a chance if we don't change. And we're going to change because simply we don't have a chance anymore. Or, you know, we have no choice but to stand up and fight. And I'm ready to do that. We have to involve younger people. It's so important to involve younger people. And, you know, the young Democrats organizations are growing in this state by leaps and bounds over the last 10 years. And I got to tell us something, you know. When you go to a Democratic convention and all you see is 55 to 80-year-old people, we got to change. We got to change. We have to involve the younger people and instill the American dream in them. And, you know, working people aren't greedy people. They want to be able to take care of their family. They'd like to be able to send their kids to college. They'd like to have health insurance for everybody. And they'd like to be able to retire with dignity. And as I've said many times, for a person that's willing to work every day, that is not too much to ask. And we allow the corporations can make their profits, but, you know, excessive or obscene profits, well, that has to stop.
Yeah, at the expense of the American worker has to stop. That's the thing, is that excessive profits are fine. If they want to make excessive profits, whatever. But
as long as they're taking care of the people.
Exactly.
As long as they're taking care of the people. And, you know, I've argued with right-wing people on the radio, and you ask them, what is the biggest function of government? And what do you mean? You know, and I said, any kind of government, I don't care what government you have. What is the biggest function or responsibility of that government? Well, I'm not sure what you mean. I said, well, let me explain it to you. You guys have made it a bad word, but I'm going to say it anyway. The biggest responsibility of any government is the welfare of the people that they govern. Can't say it any plainer than that.
No, you can't.
And if you take care of the people and consider their welfare, you're a winner.
And it says it right there in the Constitution.
Isn't that amazing? You mean
what that quaint piece of paper that that Bush didn't give a damn about? Yeah, that thing. Yeah.
Well, you know what Bush and this administration have done? They put it on rolls and put it in the bathroom. They use it for toilet paper, is what they do. And you know, it's time for that to end. And
it is time for that to end. You're absolutely right.
Listen, I had somebody stop me, saw my impeach Bush sticker on the back of my car.
Uh-huh.
Where did you get that? I said, well, a good friend of mine gave them to me. Do you got any more? And I said, I don't know if it's exactly like that, but, you know, I had a couple more. And I said, you know, do you have some friends that would put these on? They said, sure do. So I gave them every one I had.
Excellent.
Yes.
Well, maybe we should do that here at Head On Radio Network, is try to make those impeach Bush stickers available as much as possible, eh?
Sounds good to me. Oh,
we've got
that's a real good thing. Yeah, we got to get more of those.
I've got just as an aside, I've got plenty. I've always got plenty. I've got a friend down here, a very good friend of mine, who is we'll just call him the Pied Piper of bumper stickers, okay? Or should I? Yeah, the Johnny Appleseed of bumper stickers. That's
okay.
He rides around, and he has at any given time 300 to 400 different stickers that he just gives to people.
Okay. Well, we got to, you should look into that, man. Let's see if we can get more of those.
I definitely will.
Well, listen.
Well, Wayne. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, I'm just, believe it or not, I don't know what else to say, unless there's something that you would like to ask me or I'm about run out. I'm waiting for the pizza delivery.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, that's not a bad idea. It's getting close to my dinner time, too, my friend.
Yeah, well, you know, occasionally you got to do that. Eat.
Absolutely.
I mean.
Occasionally got to eat. Very, very rarely do I sleep anymore. I was on a conference call till 2:30 in the morning, but
one more thing before I go. You know, listening, I mean, even being on hold, you hear these ads about the Carpenters, which are an excellent ad. Excellent ad. Agnes did that. For who doesn't know, I'm president of the Carpenters Union in this area of West Virginia. And then you have beautiful music. But it reminds me, and something I think that a lot of people should be reminded of, Jesus Christ was a carpenter. And I'm sure if there was a union, he'd have been president, buddy.
Yep, you're absolutely right. He would have been the first one to organize.
Yes, sir. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Wayne, for calling in, and look forward to hearing from you again real soon.
Okay, buddy. Have a good weekend.
Okay, you too.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Talk to you soon. Thanks a lot. All right, that's our good friend Wayne from West Virginia, the president of the Carpenters Union there where he is. And, you know, those carpenters, man, they're building the American dream, and we're up here trying to, at the Head On Radio Network, trying to, bring some common sense back to this, this entire, Iraqal debacle thing that's going on. It's about 45 minutes past the hour. You are listening to the Bruce Burch radio program, Radio for a Free America, on the Head On Radio Network. We're going to take a quick break. And we'll be back with you for the final segment of this radio program to finish out the first week of the Bruce Burch radio program. I'll be right back.
Michael Franti, Legacy and LZ in the place. Gone International with Sly and Robbie on the track. Drums and bass. We getting wild. Text call, get the last word. I don't understand the whole reason why.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving. And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool block skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Some prayers never reach the sky. Some wounds never heal. They still say someday the South will rise. Man, I want to see that deal.
You're back on the Bruce Burch radio program.
And I want to grow old gracefully.
Radio for a free America. Being brought to you by the Head On Radio Network at headonradionetwork.com. Now, Ben Burch over at the White Rose Society is having a fundraiser over there. So, you know, do the right thing. If you use his archives and you like to listen to this show, which is being streamed via his streaming servers, do the right thing. Go over there and if you have the opportunity to drop a few bucks, please do so, because, you know, this service that he provides to many, many thousands of people, tens of thousands of people who use it, is invaluable. And getting the message out there and reframing the argument, as Wayne and I were doing a little while ago, so that people understand that the Democratic Party is the party of the working people, is the party of those who would... who don't have the same kind of monetary resources as the Republican Party. He's helping to do that over at the White Rose Society. So go check that out, and please do, you know, if you can, give a few bucks. He could use it. We're getting to the end of our show today, and it's about 10 minutes before the hour. And, you know, you know, one of the things that we talked about today was well, actually, we talked about a lot of things today. But going into this patriotic season, we had Flag Day on Wednesday, and of course, we're rapidly approaching the 4th of July in the United States. And I really wanted to just take this opportunity here this afternoon, this Friday afternoon here in beautiful Greensboro, North Carolina. You know, the sun is about to start to set here, and as I'm looking over my shoulder out the window over the pine trees there, something we have seemed to have misplaced in all of our journey to this year 2006, something we seem to have misplaced is the revolutionary spirit upon which this country was founded. People like Tom Paine, you know, who wrote Common Sense and several other pamphlets that incited a generation of people against oppressive rule by the British Crown. People like Thomas Jefferson, who authored the Declaration of Independence, who declared that we had the right to self-govern ourselves, that we had the right to embark upon a grand experiment to find out whether or not we could, in fact, create a system that would be as equal as possible to all of its subject. Reflect on that this weekend. Think about that, because you know what? In reality, what we are trying to do today on the Head On Radio Network is exactly what Tom Paine was trying to do back in the 1770s. We're trying to get people to see the reality of what's going on. We're trying to get people to wake up and, you know, for lack of a better term, smell the tea in the Boston Harbor. We're trying to get people to say, I'm not doing enough to change this world to what I want it to be. I know I am. Are you? And if you aren't, if you can't answer that question yes, then I challenge you to think about what it is you can do. Can you get involved in your Democratic Party? Can you get involved in a local activism group? Can you get involved in helping to feed the homeless? Can you get involved in creating a new America where people care about each other rather than the bottom freaking line? Because what's most important, ladies and gentlemen, isn't what you die with. It isn't who has the most toys wins. It is about creating community. It is about when you leave this planet and you're laying in that box and people visit the church to see you one last time, I certainly hope they spill out in the street for all the help that you gave. I certainly hope you've enjoyed this radio program and this first week of the Bruce Birch radio program. I know I have. If you want to get in touch with me over the weekend, send me an email, bruce@brucebirch.com. Bob Kincaid and his Rantalicious radio programming is coming up next with Head On with Bob Kincaid right here on the Head On Radio Network. I'd like to thank Bob for engineering the program this afternoon. John Fox for announcing, the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights for supporting this wonderful radio programming. And the last but not least, I also would like to thank all of you listeners for tuning in and discovering, or should I say rediscovering, what America is all about. This has been Bruce Birch for the Bruce Birch radio program. Don't forget, folks, it's your democracy too, and it's not a spectator sport. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on Monday.
Was a time I'll always remember. I could never forget how reality came down around us like some Western movie set. When the dust all settled, the sun shone so bright, and a great calm took over us like it was all gonna be alright. That's how it felt to be alive after life.
State. All the terrorist groups disbanded with no empire